Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota Daf Tes. We're already a little bit down on Tesamud Aleph. We're about 19 lines down on Tesamud Aleph. We're beginning with the line that has in parentheses Vagomer at the start of the line, and we're beginning with the words Umeachar Dinaf Gole. So we'll just remind ourselves, in yesterday's share, we brought down on Ches Omud Beis three psukim that describe the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes people in this world. So we had first a pasuk that we brought down. There were several psukim we brought down from Yeshaya, and one from Koheles. So the first pasuk we brought down yesterday from Yeshaya said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the world, minayin she memida she'odam modid ba modin lo, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu measures the world, mida kineged mida, it's based upon the first pasuk from Yeshaya that said, b'sasa'a b'shalcha tirivena. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a saw, a specific measure, and he will send you away with that saw. In other words, you did something for a saw, you'll be punished for a saw. So, then we had another pasuk that taught us that even smaller measures than a saw, so it said, ki chol sa'on so'ein birash. For every specific measure that you do something wrong, there will be rash, there will be a punishment, there will be noise. And then we finally had the last pasuk from Koheles, which said, achas li achas limtso cheshbon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will add one to one to one until he comes up with the cheshbon, until the amount of punishment that you deserve reaches a certain point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish you. So these three psukim we brought down yesterday, and today we ask, again 19 lines down from the top on Tesamud Aleph, why do we need all three psukim? Since we have this last pasuk from Koheles that we just read, which tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will add up all of our sins until we get the significant amount that we'll be punished for. So, ki kol sa'on so'ein berash lomeli. So why do we need the pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will measure out every punishment that we have and we'll be punished for every amount that we did? Seems to be repetitive, unnecessary. So the Gemara says, no, you need the second pasuk, l'chemida, to teach us that for that specific amount that you did, you'll be punished accordingly. The punishment will fit the crime exactly. So you needed to teach us with that mida, the way that you sinned, so that will be the way that you'll be punished. And what do we need the third pasuk? So why do we need the pasuk that says b'sasa b'shalcha tirivena lomoli? Why do I need that pasuk to tell me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us an exact amount of punishment for the exact amount of crime that we've done? So that you need for the din that Rav Chinina bar Papa taught us. Look at the Rav Chinina bar Papa. What did he say? The Rav Chinina bar Papa and HaKadosh Baruch Hu nifra min ha'uma. That by the Goyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't go and punish them until the time that he's ready to say, that's it. The Goyim, they do something wrong, they don't get punished. They do something wrong, they don't get punished. They do something wrong, they don't get punished. Until finally, they broke the straw that breaks the camel's back, and then they get punishment and they get that wiped out. As opposed to Klai Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we do something wrong, he punishes us. We do something wrong, he punishes us. So we never build up, so to say, such a huge punishment that we get wiped out. And this is based upon the pasuk Shnema b'sasa b'shalcha v'gomer. Gemara says, "Really, Ini? Is that true?" V'amar Rava. Rava says that we have the famous dream of the Sar Hamashkim. Rashi explains that's what we're referring to over here. Shlosha kosos suamuros b'mitzrayim loma. In the Sar Hamashkim's dream, so there were three cups of wine. The day this daf test is one of the first days of Pesach. So it's interesting that some suggest that those three cups of wine plus the kos of benching are the source or one of the ideas alluding to the Dalit Kosos on the night of the Seder of Pesach. In any event, these Shlosha Kosos, Hamuris B'Mitzrayim, Loma, what were they for? In what regard were these three cups for? So they refer to three cups of punishment that Mitzrayim got. Not that Mitzrayim was destroyed all at once, but they were destroyed at three separate times. So they're three separate punishments, which goes against the principle that we just said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish them, and then they'll send them away. That's it. So what are the three punishments? Achas, Sheshasos, B'mei Moshe. One is, of course, Yitzias Mitzrayim, that Paro and Mitzrayim were punished at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Achas, Sheshasos, B'mei Paro Nicho. Then there is the famous Paro Nicho, who lost a terrible war to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar defeated him. There's also the Haftarah that we have on Pesach, and that is that Yoshiyahu didn't allow Paro Nicho to come to Mitzrayim. He thought the people were good, but unfortunately people were not good. Paro Nicho came through, and unfortunately Yoshiyahu was killed, and then Paro Nicho was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. So that's the second cup of punishment that Mitzrayim received. And the third cup is in the future. As Rashi explains in Ibn Masl, im chavrosel, this is talking about limos Mashiach, and they'll get their punishment then. So what do you see? Rashi says, Amo lo nitrudo b'maka rishona. Mitzrayim wasn't wiped out all at once. They were given a huge punishment, they turned into Mitzrayim, another punishment with Paro Nicho, and then there's still another punishment waiting for them, b'mher yameinu b'mos HaMashiach. Ah, you want to tell me, v'chitema hanuch ozdu v'hane achrine ninu, that they aren't the same Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wiped out all the Mitzrayim in time of Mitzrayim. Then a new population populated Mitzrayim. They called themselves the Mitzrayim, but they weren't the Mitzrayim, and they were destroyed with the time of Paro Nicho. That can't be, because Gemara says, well, Tanya, we have a famous Gemara, we learned it not that long ago in Yuvamos, which tells us the Rabbi Yehuda said, Min Yamin Ger HaMitzri, Min Yamin, who was a convert from the Mitzriim, Hayoli Chaver Mitamidi Rabbi Akiva, was a Chavrusa of Rabbi Yehuda the Tana in the days of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda was one of the main Tamidim of Rabbi Akiva, and Min Yamin Ger HaMitzri was his Chavrusa, he was a friend of his at that point in time. Now, this is well after Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Omar Min Yomim Ger HaMitzri, and Min Yomim, who was this Ger HaMitzri, he was a convert from the Mitzriim. So he said, Ani Mitzri Rishon, I was a Mitzri, and I converted, so I'm a Mitzri Rishon. V'nosasi Mitzis Rishona, and I married a woman who was also a convert from the Mitzriim nation. So we married our child, Asi Livni Mitzri Shnia. I will have my son, who is a Mitzri Sheni. He's a second generation Ger from Mitzrayim. And I will have him marry also a woman who is a second generation Ger from Mitzrayim. And therefore, my grandson, Kadeshi Ben Bini, that my grandson will be Mutar Lavo Bakal, because by Mitzrayim it says Ador Shlishi. The three generations, the first and the second, can't go in. Only the third generation can become a regular member of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, you see that you can't argue that these are different Mitzriim, because during the times of Rabbi Akiva, this was well after Yitzias Mitzrayim, so you can't say that Sancheiv came and was Mevalvel, the Olam, and that those Mitzriim are not the same Mitzriim. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ella. How do you go about explaining these three kosos? So Ella, Itmar, Hoch, Itmar, this is where you explain it. Omer, Ruchinu bar Papa. Ruchinu bar Papa said as follows. He said, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifra Min HaMelech Ad Shas Shilucho. Hashem doesn't necessarily destroy the whole nation, but he destroys that king, and he waits and waits and waits until that king has, so to say, accrued enough Rechmona Litzlan terrible things that he's done, and then he punishes him. Shenema B'sasso B'shalcho Terivena V'gomer. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go and wipe them out. But it's only for that king, Lav Davka, that entire nation. Now, Ameimar, Masin Lo Lohod, Rav Chinina Bar Papa, aha. That statement we just brought down from Rav Chinina Bar Papa, Ameimar said it went on the following pasuk. Maida said, what does the pasuk mean when it says, this is a pasuk from Malachi, Ki Ani Hashem Lo Shonisi, Yatem Bnei Yaakov Lo Chilisem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will not have changed. Shonisi means to change. And you, Bnei Yaakov, will not be wiped out. What does that mean? So Ani Hashem Lo Shonisi, HaKadosh Baruch says, I have not changed. So it means, the word Shonisi doesn't mean change. It means that I will not repeat. In other words, Lo Hikisi Le'uma V'Shonisi La. I didn't punish the nation and then punish them again. In other words, I wiped them out by the Goyim when the nation was punished. So that's it. They're gone. Yatem Bnei Yaakov, however, you, the Bnei Yaakov, Klal Yisrael, Lo Chilisem. I've never wiped you out. I've punished you. Unfortunately, Nebuch, we've been punished many times throughout our history, but you've never been wiped out, and you never will be wiped out. We have Avtacha that will always be around. Haynu D'siv, and that's how we explain the pasuk, where it says, Chitzai Achalebom. What does that mean? My arrows I will go and send against you, and I will not finish you off, however. Chitzai Kolin, my arrows, they will be done. However, the Hain, Einon Kolim, Klal Yisrael, will not be ended. The Ben Yehuda has a beautiful explanation over here. He says that by the other nations, they're wiped out with one big arrow, so to say. But by Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his arrow and smashed it into many little pieces. And that's why he says, Chitzai, my arrows, not my arrow. So, therefore, the punishments that Klal Yisrael got were many multiple little punishments. Some of them sound very, very big to us, but they're relatively little compared to wiping out the entire nation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, so to say, used up all of his arrows against us because he broke them down into smaller punishments. And all the arrows are gone, but the Jewish people still remain forever. Amar Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna says, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu nifra min ha'adam ad she'tamale soso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish the person until he's done a significant measure of sin, and then he gets punished. Shinamar. And this pasuk is based This idea is based upon a pasuk in Iyov, Shenemar, Bimlos Sifko, when a person has his entire desire, so to say, filled up, so then Yetzer lo will go over. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go and punish him. Again, the Mefarshim explained, this is a reference to the people that aren't Klal Yisrael, that aren't good people. So, in this situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets them have success for a while, and then, boom, they get all of their punishment. As opposed to the righteous people, the Tzadikim, Klal Yisrael, so we're treated in a different fashion. Dorosh Ruchinin Bar Papa, we have another member in the name, Ruchinin Bar Papa, he says, my Dasiv, what does the Pasuk mean? This is a pasuk from Tehillim which says, "Raninu tzadikim b'Hashem la'yisharim novos hilo." A famous pasuk that we say in our davening. So, what does this pasuk mean? "Al tikre novos hilo." Don't read it as "novo" is beautiful or very appropriate, a beautiful idea. "Ela neve sihilo." Read it as "neve" means a palace or a place of praise, and this is a reference to the two great leaders of Klal Yisrael, Moshe and David, Zeh Moshe and David, that are referred to over here as Neve Sehila. Their houses of praise that they built for Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu built, of course, the Mishkan, and David HaMelech was instrumental, albeit he didn't build the first base of Mishkan, he was instrumental in getting everything ready for the building of the first base of Mikdash. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, Shalosh Sholtu Soneihem B'maseihem, that these two structures will never be fully destroyed. As we'll see in a moment, the Mishkan and the first base of Mikdash, they are still in existence to a certain extent. What is that? By David Dirsiv, Tavu Va'aretz Sharel. While Nebuch, the first base of Mikdash, was physically destroyed, but the Sharim, the gates, sank down into the earth. As is possible from Eicha tells us, Tavu Va'aretz, they sank into the ground, these Sharim, they weren't physically destroyed. And these Sharim, which were very valuable, made of gold and precious materials, so they were not taken by Nebuchadnezzar into Golos. So that's what we see by David, that his handiwork, so to say, wasn't destroyed. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the same thing, the Yom Amar, because we said the following, Mishenivna Mikdash Rishon, when the first base of Mikdash was built by Shlomo HaMelech, so what do they do with the Mishkan? So Nignaz Oa Moed. So the Oa Moed was hidden away. Kirasov, Rechov, V'Amudov, V'Adonov, all the component parts of the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu had made were buried underneath the Beis HaMikdash, and they're still there in various chambers to this day. As the Gemara tells us, Heicha, where are the components of the Ol Moed hidden? Amar Chista, Amar Avime, Tachas Mechilos Shel Heicha. Underneath the Beis HaMikdash, there are various tunnels where other Kelim are hidden away there as well as the Ol Moed that Moshe Rabbeinu had made. Tad Rabbanon, we learn the following Raisa, Sota, the Sota set her eyes upon somebody that she wasn't supposed to be with. In other words, she set her eyes upon her adulterer and not upon her husband. So therefore, Masha Biksha Lo Nitala. Not only did she not get what she wanted, which was to be with the adulterer, she's forever also, the Boel is also to her, the one she has adultery with, forever forbidden to marry her, and they can never have a life together. So Masha Biksha Lo Nitan La, she's never allowed to be with him. Even after the husband divorces her, she doesn't drink the Meisoto, she admits she's guilty. So she's never allowed to marry the Boel. So Umasha Biyoda Nitaluhu Mimena. And what she had is taken away from her as well. Her husband, who was her husband, is now not allowed to be her husband anymore. So she doesn't get what she wanted, and she even loses what she had. Very important idea. She called it nosing einov, b'mash einu shalom, because ever somebody looks at something that's not supposed to be his, and desires it, wants it, and then does something nebuch to go and try to get it, so not only mash b'vakesh einu shalom, what that person wanted won't be given to them, but they'll also lose what they already have. Mash b'yado, notlin heimenu. They'll be punished, and what they have will be taken away. So having greedy eyes, wanting something that isn't yours, so it's not only going to turn out bad for you that you won't get that thing, but you'll even lose already what you have. The third, the test on the base. We find this is a method, so to say, that's throughout history, we have the same idea in many situations in Tanakh. We find this by the original Nochosh, the Nochosh that caused Adam and Chava to sin. He wanted something that he wasn't supposed to get. As we know, the famous Midrashim that say, the Nochosh wanted to sleep with Chava. The original Nochosh was an upright type of a creature that walked on 2 feet and talked and could have physically had relations with Chava. And that's what he wanted. And the Midrashim that say from the Pasuk, as Rashi brings down, Nochosh Hishiani, so that's a Lashon of Tashmish, V'nisuin Hu. So the Nochosh was the one that caused them all their trouble. That's because the Nochosh either wanted to, or some Midrashim say in some fashion, he actually had relations with Chava. That's the zuhama that was instilled in the world, according to some of the Agadah literature, that's the filth and the perversion that was instilled into the world came from the Nochash through Chava. Shenazan ain't of Bimash ain't a roilo. He wanted something that wasn't supposed to be for him. Adam and Chava was supposed to be married. The Nochash wanted to marry Chava. That's why he wanted her to give Adam to Ephraim the Eitz Hadas, so Adam would die, and then he would be left to marry Chava. So, of course, he was punished in the same way. He had Nos and Ein of Mash and Aroylo, so Masha be Keslo Noslo. So what he wanted, Chava, he didn't get. Well, Masha be Yado, Netolu Menu. And what he had was taken away from him. That originally, the Nochash was supposed to be, as the Gemara will tell us, the leader of all the animals. And he was supposed to be a servant to mankind. And having a lofty, exalted position. So he lost that. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, you wanted Chava? You're going to lose everything. Ani Amarti, Yehei Melech HaKol Behema V'Chaya. I set you up to be the king, the ruler over all the other creatures of the world. All the Behemas and Chayas would have been subordinate to the Nachash. And all he had to do was be a servant to man. The Achshav Aror Hu Mikola Behema U'Mukol Chayas HaSada. And now he's the most hated of all the creatures. No animal or Chaya. Behemo Chaya will be subordinate to the Nachash. They will kill the Nachash. They will try to get away from the Nachash. Likewise, Hashem said, Ani Amarti Yahalech Bekoma Zekufa. I said to the Nachash, you can walk in a standing position like man. You'd be a biped. You walk on 2 feet like a human being. So Achshav, not only did you not walk now on 2 feet, but you crawl on the dusty ground. Achshav Al Gechono Yelech. You shall go crawl around on your belly. Likewise, the Kosher said, Yamarti, hey, ma'acholo, ma'acholodom. I said that you are going to eat food like a human being eats food. You're going to have tasty, delicious food to eat like a human being. Achshav ofer yochal. Now, you're going to eat dust. The dust of the earth is what you'll survive on. I always say, famous medrash I heard, my rabbeim, that doesn't sound like much of a punishment. The Nachash always has food. Wherever he goes, there's dust. So the answer is that he has no relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the worst thing in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically is like the father that says to his son, here's a credit card. Get away from me. I don't need you. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Here's the credit card. Take care of yourself. So the Nachash has like a credit card. He has dust to eat wherever he wants, but he doesn't have to come onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask every day for his parnasa. He has no relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to daven every day for parnasa. So we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the best thing in the world. The Nachash is basically being exiled and rejected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, get away from me. Yeah, I have to feed you. But I don't have to feed you in a way that we have a relationship. So therefore, the offer is what you'll eat, but don't come to talk to me. Don't daven to me. Don't have any relationship with me. Likewise, who am I? The Nachash's plan was to have Chava give to Adam from the Eitz Hadas. Hashem wouldn't blame Chava because he didn't tell Chava not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He told Adam not to, so Adam would be punished. Chava would remain alive, and he would marry Chava. So therefore, Achshav, not only will you not marry Chava, Ella Achshav, Eva Oshis Bein Cha Ubein Isha. There'll be a hatred. Women don't like snakes. There'll be a terrible hatred between you and women. Ubein Zaracha Ubein Zara. And for all generations to come, your snake children and grandchildren will have a hatred between all people, all women of the world. Okay, so again, this is a perfect example of the Nachash wanting something that wasn't due to him. And not only did he lose that, he didn't get that, but he lost everything that he had. And the Chaymatzinu, the Gemara continues and tells us this happens many, many times in history, and it lists a whole bunch of times. B'Kayin, this happened. B'Korach, B'Bilam, B'Doeg, B'Achitofel, B'Gechazi, B'Avshalom, B'Adoniyo, B'Uziyo, B'Haman. All of these people, which I'll explain in a moment exactly what happened to them, they're all famous people throughout Tanakh. Shenosnu einem b'mash einu roilhem. They wanted something that they weren't deserving to have. It wasn't destined for them. So not only did they not get that, mashe b'ikshu lo nitan lehem, o mashe b'yodom nitalu mehem. That which they wanted, they don't have, and they lost everything that they didn't have. What are all these people? So, of course, we know, and we'll go through Rashi's over here. Rashi's on the starting on the second line, the top from the top. So it says, Kayin, so Nosan Einav Bita'oma Yisera Shenolda Im Hevel. When Adam and Chava gave birth, so there was Hevel, who had two twin sisters born with him. As Rashi points out, based upon the pasuk of Es Ochiv, Es Hevel. So the extra S and S means that with Hevel were born two twin girls. And with Kayin was born one girl. So Kayin said, hey, I don't want to have just one girl to marry. I want two girls to marry. You have one girl to marry. And that's what Kayin and Hevel were fighting about. So Shtei Tomos no duimo, that Kayin wanted to have two and not have Hevel have two. So therefore, they fought. And of course, Kayin lost everything. Yes, he did kill Hevel, but he lost everything. And instead of being the great Kayin that he could have been, he ended up being a murderer, and he ended up losing everything. With Korach, next, Rashi tells us, of course, Ala Kuhuna v'nidla. He wanted to be the Kohen Gadol, and he got nothing. He ended up dying. Bilam, so he wanted b'mamono shabalak. All he wanted was money, money, money. And he took money from Balak, l'kalalas Yisrael. And what happened? The Narag b'minyan. And then he was ultimately killed. Why? When he went to collect the money that he was entitled to get, Rechman al-Sam, when he caused 24,000 people to be killed from Klai Yisrael, so he went to go collect his money from Midian, that's when he was killed. Doeg, who was Doeg? He was Abir Heroim. He was a great shepherd of Klai Yisrael. He was a huge Talmid Chacham. V'godol shebetalmidim hoya. Doeg was a great Talmid Chacham. He was the head of Sanhedrin. However, v'niskane b'dovid, he wanted to be the king. And he, as Rashi continues, he said, and every single word in this pasuk was darshan in the Agadita in the Gemara in Perek Achelik in Sanhedrin. The kol apasuk hazeh doeg amro b'loshen hara. He said loshen hara about David, and ultimately Doeg died before he reached the age of 35. V'achitofel. Similarly, he was also a great person. Nosan eina b'melucha. He also wanted to be the king. He was also the head of Sanhedrin, as the Gemara in Perek Achelik in Sanhedrin tells us. He saw that fire was leaving from his gid, and he said, oh, I must be somebody really important. However, he lost everything. Both Doeg and Achitofel died at 33 and 34 years of age. They didn't even live up to be half of the lives. Each of them was an unbelievably great Talmud Chacham and could have really been a major player in history of Klai Yisrael. Instead, both of them died before they even reached half of their lifetime. Gehazi. So he was the servant of Elisha, and all he wanted was money. When Elisha healed Naaman from his saras, so Naaman wanted to pay them. And Elisha said, of course not. I don't want any money. I did this. The Kosh Baruch Hu told me to do this. But Gehazi ran after Naaman and said, oh, my master changed his mind. And therefore, Gehazi was punished with saras. The manu shel Naaman in its tara. So he all he wanted was money. So he ended up losing everything. He became a Metzora. Adoniyahu, so he was the son of David who wanted to become the king after David, so he wanted to marry Avishag Hashunamis, his father's concubine, the Nerag, and he ultimately was died in his rebellion against David. Where do we have Uziyahu? So he was a king who also wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. Uziyahu b'kuhuna, so he was should be happy to be the king, but he wanted also to be the Kohen Gadol. So Tzaraz Zorcha Amitzlo, and he ended up having Tzaraz as well. Now, no, Rashi doesn't have the gears over here for Haman, like we have in our Gemara, but our Gemara said Haman. So, of course, Haman wanted everything, and the one thing he couldn't have was he wanted Mordechai to bow down to him. So, because of that one little thing, he lost everything. He didn't get that one thing that he wanted, Mordechai to bow down to him, and he lost his very, very prestigious position as the viceroy of Paras Moadai, and, of course, he was hung, and his lineage was destroyed. In any event, these are all examples that we have Tanakh, that many others that the Gemara doesn't list, that people wanted something, shenosnu einem, b'ma she'eino roilem, they wanted something that they weren't entitled to, and not only did they not get that, but it caused them to lose everything that they had. Now we go back to the Mishnah, where it talks about the way that the Mei Hamarim, the Mei Sota, would actually go and kill the woman, and as well, the Baal. The Baal suffered the same fate as the woman. Everybody forgets about that. Not only did the woman suffer in this way, for the Mei Hamarim, but the adulterer suffered in the exact same way. In any event, the Mishnah said, that since she first sinned with her thigh, that was the first part of her body, so to say, that got pleasure, so therefore, the thigh will be mentioned first in the Pasuk as being attacked. Now, the Gemara says, how do we know this? So, if you're going to tell me, Mishum Dirsiv, because the Pasuk says, B'seis Hashem es yirechech nofeles v'yes b'tnech tzova, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go and make your thigh fall, v'yes b'tnech tzova, and your belly swell up. So then, we have another Pasuk that comes right after that, V'ksiv, v'tzov so bitno v'nofel yirecha, that her stomach will swell up, and then her thigh will fall. So the order is reversed in that second Pasuk. So how come in the first Pasuk it mentions the thigh first and then the belly, then the second Pasuk it mentions the belly first and then the thigh? So Abai gives a very simple answer. Amar Abai, ki layit, the first Pasuk refers to the Kohen saying that this is what's going to happen to you. So first he cursed, ki layit, layit chila b'yerech, because that's what we said. The Yerech started everything off. Then, v'hadar bet in light, and then afterwards, the woman started off first by having her thigh involved in the pleasure, and then when the man lies upon her, to have relations with her. So then her body, her belly, gets the enjoyment. So therefore, the water is going to be mentioned first by the Kohen that it'll curse her thigh and then her belly. However, Maya, when the water actually is drunk, kibotke, and it checks her out, and Nebuchad punishes her, so the water first goes into the stomach. Kirochayu botke, it goes through the normal routes. First it goes into the stomach, then it gets absorbed and goes to the rest of the body. So, betem bereisha. So the stomach is involved first, is attacked first, so to say, by the waters, v'hadu yarech, and only afterwards, the whatever was in the meimarim is disseminated throughout the body, and it will go and destroy your yarech. So that's why the first pasuk says that you're cursed with your rech first and then the beten, but when it's actually coming to happen, so it's going to be the beten first and then the yarech. So Gemara says, wait a second, the second pasuk that we just brought down is telling us what actually happened, but in the cursing, it also mentions the beten first, the lampo yarech second. So we have twice curse. First it says, yarechech nofeles, and then bitnech tzava. But then in the next cursed pasuk, it says, latzmos beten, your belly will go and swell up, the lampo yarech, and your thigh will fall down. So even in the curse, it says beten first. So how come it says the curse twice in two different ways, and then ultimately when it happens, it says the belly first? So the Gemara says, no, how the moda lo kohen, the beten bereisha of had yarech. It has to mention the curse twice. First, it starts off to teach us this mida keneged mida. You started off with your thigh, so your thigh is going to get fallen down. And only afterwards will your belly swell up. But then even in the curse, it has to tell us that your belly will swell up, and then your thigh will fall down. So when it does happen that way, as it says, the Kohen will give her the water to drink, and then her belly will swell up, and her thigh will fall down. So then people will say, oh, this is exactly what the Kohen said would happen. People are very funny. People say, hey, you said the thigh would get it first, and then the belly. So when this happens, and the belly gets it first, and then the thigh, they'll say, it has nothing to do with the May Marim. This is just a coincidence that it happened. It has nothing to do with the May Marim, this May Soto working. So people are very funny. They'll look at something, and it didn't exactly happen the way it happened. Like with Paro, again, with Yetzias Mitzrayim, it says that this will occur Kachatzo Salila. He didn't say Bachatzo Salila because Paro could miscalculate it when exactly midnight is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly when midnight is, but Paro doesn't. So when Moshe Rabbeinu says this will happen exactly at midnight, and then it will happen according to Paro's calculation at 12:00:01, so he'll say, oh, has nothing to do with your punishment. It didn't happen exactly at midnight. It was a natural event. So to over here, people will say, unless the Kohen mentions specifically in the curse that the Beten will be first and then the Yerech, so then people say this was a coincidence. So therefore, unbelievable, you have to tell us first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us the Mida Keneged Mida, but then the curse, you have to say that it will happen first to the stomach and then to the Yerech, and then in the actual fashion, after the drinking, that's what will happen, first the stomach and then the Yerech. Again, an amazing idea here, how far people will go to dismiss the Yad Hashem, they'll find a natural way to do it. Yeah, there was a tsunami that caused Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Yam Suf, to split. There are all sorts of attempts to make all the miracles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into natural events. Now we go to the next Mishnah, a phenomenal discussion about Shimshon. Shimshon is, again, one of the great figures of Jewish history, and unfortunately, he didn't reach the fullest potential, but he was a huge tzaddik. People mistakenly think that Shimshon was a terrible person in any way. Rachmana litzlan, nothing could be further from the truth. He was the God of Adar, he was a great tzaddik. His whole plan, the Radak goes through in great detail, a lot based upon a Gemara, that Shimshon knew that Klai Yisrael didn't have the ability to stand up to the Plishtim on their own. So he basically became a rogue guerrilla type of warfare. So anything that he did, they couldn't bring back to Klai Yisrael. And in fact, the Plishtim seemed to try to ask Klai Yisrael to rein him in all the time. And it prevented the Plishtim from attacking Klai Yisrael because there was only this one guy out there, this one guerrilla warfare guy out there. So therefore, they focused on him and not focused on attacking Klai Yisrael. In any event, Shimshon had tremendous ideas. The Ben Yoyada has a whole huge discussion here as to what Shimshon's plans were. They were very Kabbalistic and deep ideas that when Shimshon went to go marry these women from the Plishtim, it was with the same idea that Shlomo HaMelech had to go and bring these nitzotzos shel kedusha, these little sparks of kedusha that were present in these umos, Shlomo HaMelech with all the nations of the world, and Shimshon with the Plishtim to try to bring those nitzotzos shel kedusha, the little sparks of kedusha, into the fold. And their ideas were lofty and glorious, albeit, unfortunately, each of them had some sort of a failing, some sort of a minuscule failing that led them not to have their plan work out as they originally had intended. But both of them did everything that they did with being great tzaddikim and with trying to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to do. So we start off this Mishnah with Shimshon Holach Acharenu. This follows in the path of what we said previously, that the Midrash Atah Modeid, Modino, so the way that you act will be the way that you judge. So Shimshon, his eyes led him astray. The Ben Yodah says it was only his eyes. It was never his mind. There was never anything intentional. And therefore, he was a great tzaddik, and he was ultimately able to defeat the Plishtim, and they were terrified of Shimshon. But he went after his eyes, as we'll explain in Psukim, Lefikach Nikru Plishtim Esein. Therefore, ultimately, he was blinded. Shinema, and the Pasuk says, the Plishtim took it, Vayochazuhu Plishtim, Vayinakru Esein. They put out his eyes. Similarly, we have Avshalom Nizgoy Bisaro. Avshalom was very, very proud of his hair. He was a Nazir, and he was very, very proud of his long locks of hair. So, ultimately, he fell because of his hair. He became very arrogant. He says, look how beautiful I am. And ultimately, he got his hair caught when he was running away from David, and his hair got caught in the tree, and he ultimately died. Lefikoch nitlo basaro. He was ultimately hung by his hair. His donkey that he was riding on, or the horse that he was riding on, pulled away, and he was stuck up there in the hair, and he was killed. And he was killed in the following way, since he had relations with 10 of his father's pilakshim, which he wasn't allowed to do. Lefikoch nitnubo eser lunvios. Therefore, 10 swords were thrust into him. And the Ben Yehuda brings down the idea of sa'ar, hair, is also a jumble of eser, of 10. And that's this idea of 10 swords, to eser lunvios. As the Pasuk says, Shemar, vayasobu asoret. Now, the Gersa we have is Anoshim, but it really was Norim, no se kle Yov. Yov sent people after him. David told him, don't kill Avshalom, but nevertheless, Yov killed Avshalom, and he sent these 10 people, and they pierced him with a sword. And Avshalom also stole 3 hearts, as we'll see, Lev Aviv. He stole the heart of his father. And then Yehuda brings down, other Mepharshim bring down, that he had asked his father, listen, I want to go and bring my korbanos at the conclusion of my Naziris, so can you have 2 people come along with me? So David said, sure, tell me which 2 people, and I'll write it down. And Avshalom told him, no, just give me a note saying the 2 people that I want to go get, I don't know who I want to get, they should come with me. So David wrote him a blanket note, and Avshalom went to hundreds of people, and he said, you're the two. And he got all the chashuvim from the Sanhedrin and the chashuvei Klai Yisrael. They all thought that David HaMelech sent them specifically to go with Avshalom. And he came with a huge entourage of great people, and therefore he stole the heart of his father, the Lev Beis Din. These were many people who were from the Sanhedrin, so he stole the heart of the Beis Din, and they thought they were doing what David wanted, the Lev Yisrael. And Klai Yisrael sees all of this, and they thought, wow, this is the successor to David HaMelech. So therefore, he stole these 3 hearts. His father's heart, the Beis Din heart, and Lev Yisrael. And therefore, Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, Vayiganev, Avshalom is Lev Anshe Yisrael. So therefore, Lefikach, he was punished. Nizkubo Shlosho Shvatim. He was punished with 3 spears. Shvatim here means spears that were pierced through his heart. Shnemar, Vayikach Shlosho Shvatim Bechapo Vayiskaim Belev Avshalom. When Avshalom was ultimately killed, so he was pierced through the heart 3 times when Yoav attacked him, so he took 3 spears and plunged them through his heart. So until now we've been talking about things that Nebuch were not good, but we have a similar idea by good. Miriam himtina lemoshe shoachas. Miriam waited to see what would happen. As the Pasuk says, Shenemar. She waited to see what would happen with the baby that was put into the Nile, into the little Teva. So she waited to see what would happen to him until Bisra Basparo, her arms stretched out, and she brought Moshe Rabbeinu in, and he was saved. So therefore she waited. After she said the little bit of Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, and she got Tzaraas. So everybody waited till her Tzaraas lifted after 7 days. So the entire Klai Yisrael waited for her, just like she waited for Moshe Rabbeinu. The Midah of Tova is always paid back many, many more times than the Midah of Peronius. There's a 500-to-1 ratio. So therefore, she waited an hour, and therefore, they waited 7 days. Now, that's not exactly a 500-to-1 ratio, so some say, Lav Davka, it was an hour. When it says, Miriam, Himtina, Lemoshe, Sho Achas, it doesn't literally mean an hour. It could mean 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and then the calculation of how long she waited to 7 times 24 hours, so then it comes out to be a 500-to-1 ratio. In any event, it's the Pasuk says, Miriam. The people didn't leave until Miriam was healed from her tzaras. They all stayed there. Similarly, Yosef, Zochalik Boris Aviv, Yosef buried Yaakov Avinu, Yain Be'achov Godmenu, and he was the greatest of the brothers at that point in time. He was the viceroy, and therefore he was in the position of a Gedula, so he himself went to go bury Yaakov Avinu, although be it the brothers, of course, came along. Shenema Vayal Yosef Likboris Aviv. So Yosef went to go and bury his father. The pasuk continues, Vayalu Ito Kol Avde Paro Ziknei Beiso V'chol Ziknei Eretz Mitzrayim. And then the next pasuk, which was what we're quoting now here in the Mishnah, tells us, Vayal Imo Gam Rechev Gam Porashim. So this, you see that Yosef, in great fanfare, went to go and bury his father, Yaakov Avinu, and therefore he merited to be buried by Moshe Rabbeinu. Mi lo nagadol mi Yosef. There was no brother that was as great as Yosef. Shalonis asik bo el Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu himself took care of Yosef's burial. He took Atzmos Yosef imo. By kach, Moshe Atzmos Yosef imo. So Moshe Zochav Yatzmos Yosef. And they in Yisrael Golden Rimedu, there was nobody greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, so therefore he deserved to be buried by somebody that was nobody greater than him, which is of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the pasuk says, "Shenema v'yikach Moshe atzmos Yosef imo," and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was merited to be buried by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Mi gadol miMoshe, there's nobody as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, and shelo nisasik imbo bo el hamakom. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that went and buried Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, "Shenema v'yikbaru zo bagai," HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, kaviyocho, buried Moshe Rabbeinu. And this isn't only about Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo Moshe Bovat Amru. It's everybody who's a great tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, takes care of them. Ela akol atzaddikim, shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'alach lefanecho tzidkecho, kivod Hashem yasvecho. As the pasuk in Yeshaya tells us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, your tzidkos, your righteousness will go before you, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, so to say, gather you in yasvecho. And therefore, this midah tova is so much greater than the midah paranis, but it's always this idea of the way that you act, that's the way you will be rewarded or never punished. Mara starts off and says, Tana Rabbanan. Now we're talking about Shimshon HaGibor. Shimshon be'enav marad. Shimshon with his eyes, he went astray and he rebelled against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, it says, Vayomer Shimshon Olaviv. Shimshon tells his father, his father's name is Manoach, and he tells his father, Osa, that woman, Kachli, take her for me, this Plishti wife, kihi yashra bi'enoi, because she appears to be good in my eyes. She's straight in my eyes. So this is the one. So his eyes led him astray. Lefikach niku plishtim asein. Ultimately, the plishtim nebuch poked out Shimshon HaGibor's eyes. Shenemar, vayachazu plishtim vayinaku es enov, as we said in the Mishnah. Now, is this really so? Ini the haksib. But the pasuk says, v'oviv v'imo lo yodu ki mehashem hi. This woman was destined from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So his father and his father Manoach, his mother Hatzlal Puni or Tzlal Puni, so they went and didn't realize that everything he was doing was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They thought he was doing something wrong. But it says in the pasuk he was doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. So Gemara says, no. Ki Ozal, when he went to her, Miha Bosa Yashruse Ozal, he did go based upon what HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do it. But nevertheless, he had a tinge of personal desire in there that Nebuch was following his eyes, and that ultimately causes eyes to be put out. Tani, we learn the following brayso. Rabbi Yomer, Rabbi says, Rabbi the Nasi says, Tchilas kilkulo bi'aza. That Shimshon first got into trouble, the start of his downfall was in the city of Aza, with the gates of Aza that he took off. And therefore, lefikach lokoch bi'aza. Therefore, he was ultimately punished first in Aza. Where do we see this? Techilas kilkulo bi'aza. Where do we see that he first had his first downfall? He started going down in Aza. It says, Vayelech Shimshon Aza. So he went to the city of Aza. Vayar Shom Isha Zona Vagomer. And he met over there this woman of ill repute. Some suggest it means a Zona, and others suggest it means a woman who was an innkeeper. In any event, we saw the same thing by Rochav, that Rachav, who married Yoshua, she was the one who saved Yoshua and Kaleb, so she's referred to as a Zona, and there are those interpretations that say that she was a Zona, and others that say, no, she was an innkeeper. There was Zon, she would give food to people. In any event, so Lefikach, since Shimshon went down to Aza and ultimately sinned with this Isha Zona, Loka ba'aza. Therefore, he was punished now to the Ziv, but Yeridu Oso ba'azosa. So they took him down when they finally captured Shimshon, when Deliah went and weakened him by cutting off his hair, so then they were able to capture him and they brought him to Aza. Gemara says, wait a second, that wasn't the first place that Shimshon seemed to go wrong. He went to go marry the woman in Timnas. So how can you tell me that Aza was the place where he started going wrong? Gemara says, no. Tchilas kilkulo, that his start, Mia ba'azahaya, the event with Timnah, he married the woman in Timnah. And therefore, that's not considered really the start of his downfall. It's only with this Isha Zona that he had an illicit relationship with, that's when his downfall really started. Pasuk continues and says, Vahi Achre came, Vayav Isha Benachol Sorek, Ushmo Delila. So he goes and meets up with Delila, Delilah. So this woman, Nebuch, she was the cause of all of his ultimate real problems. Tani, we learn the Brisa, so Rebbe Yomer, again, review the says, review the Nosik. Ilmale, and we have the word low, or not to say the word low, we find this in many places. So it really means the same thing. Imali, if it wasn't for the fact that Lo Nikwa Shema Delila, if she, her name hadn't been given Delila, it was a very appropriate name for her. She should have been called Ruya, so she'd call her Delila anyway. Even if she wasn't named Delila, she acted like Delila. What does Delila mean? So some suggest, like the Ben Yoda, that means Dal, means impoverished. Others say it means Nekra, it means uprooted. Dildula Eskochel, she uprooted his strength, or made poor his strength. Dildula Eslibo, she made poor his heart. She destroyed his heart. She uprooted his heart. Or Dildula less Maisa, and she caused him to have weak actions or poor actions. She uprooted his strength. So where do we see this? Dildulo is kocho. When did she uproot his strength? Vayosar kocho me'olav. His strength departed from him. It left him when Nebuch, she cut off his hair. Dildulo is libo. She destroyed his heart. She weakened his heart. Tichsiv vatera delila ki higidlo es kol libo. She saw that he was telling the truth, and she saw his heart had given him away. And dildulo is Maisa, that his strength went away. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left him to say, unfortunately, at that point in time, Shimshon didn't realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset with him, and Hashem had left him, and he was on his own, and therefore he wasn't doing very well until he davened back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have the final win and victory that he did have, as we all know the story. Gemara continues his darshan in the Pesukim. It says, V'tera delila ki gidlo es kol libo. We said that Delilah saw that he'd given over all of his heart. We just had this pasuk, so now he darshed it. Mino yada. How did she know that he gave over his heart? In other words, that he was telling the truth. So two possible answers. Omar Rechonin, Omar Rav. Rechonin says the name of Rav because Nikarin Divri Emes. Truth is always recognizable. If, in fact, she saw that he was telling the truth, so it was obvious because he told her a number of, quote, lies beforehand. He told her, oh, if you buy me up in seven robes, if you do this, if you do that. So those didn't have the ring of truth to them. Here, he had the ring of truth to them. That's what Ruchonin Amar Rav says, and truth is always recognizable. Alternatively, Abai gives a second teretz, and he says, Yoda bo ba'oso tzaddik. She knew about Shimshon. He was a tzaddik. The lo mapik shem shamayim vatol. He never would have taken a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name in vain, and he wouldn't have said that Hashem said, this is what I should do, if it wasn't true. Kivin d'Amar, he said, Nazir Elokim ani. He said that he is a Nazir of Hashem. He said Hashem's name, so therefore she knew right away. Omra, she said to herself, Hashtavade Kushtakama. He's obviously telling the truth. He would never say Hashem's name in vain. Even she was able to recognize what a holy person he was. And it says, Vahi ki tzikolo bidvareha kol hayomim bata'al tsehu. So she bothered him and bothered him and bothered him every single day. He tzikolo means she pressed him, she pressed him, she pressed him each day until he finally relented. He was so pressed. Bata'al tsehu. What does it mean, batal tseyu? My batal tseyu. So, Omer Rav Yitzchok, today Rav Ami, that what he said is, the bishas gbarbi, at the conclusion of relations, when she had with him relations, nishbeto mitachlev, she pulled away from him, and the Ben Yoda says that there was a concern over here that he would have shichva zero levatola. So, therefore, she caused him this trouble, and therefore, he was so bothered by her, so he finally gave in and told her the secret to his strength, which was the fact that he was a Nazir. Then the pasuk says, "V'ato hishamri no v'al tishti yayim v'shecho v'al tochli kol tomei." The miraculous conception of Shimshon is discussed over here a little bit. That of course Manoach and Hatzalpuni or Hatzalpunis, his mother and his father, Manoach, they weren't able to have children. She dived into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malach appeared to her, not to Manoach. Manoach says, "Have the Malach come back." The Malach again appeared to her, not to Manoach. She was a great tzaddikess. Salpunis means that she lived in the shade of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the woman was a great woman, and she was told, don't have your child, and don't you drink any wine or wine products or anything tome. And you and Shimshon, when he would be born, wouldn't be allowed to have anything tome. Now, what does this exactly mean? Nobody's allowed to have anything tome. My called Tomei. So the Gemara says, Vesu ad hashta dvarim tveim kochla, and that until now he couldn't eat anything Tomei. So the first question is, what is Tomei? that he's not allowed to eat. And second of all, until now he was allowed to eat the Tumei things. So the Gemara says, So Rav Yitzchak said in the Beis Medrash of Rav Ami, he said, Dvarim ha'asurim b'nazir. This is a reference to things that are also for a nazir to eat. They're called Tumei. It's interesting. The Ben Yehuda says, Tumei means Tam miyayin osur. That's a nutricone over here for the word Tumei. Nothing with the taste of wine is he allowed to have. Okay. Gemara continues darshin in the psukim vayivka Elokim es hamachtesh asher belechi. So when Shimshon went and defeated so many of the Plishtim, he killed them with the jaw of a donkey, with the jawbone of a donkey. So he became famished. He became very, very thirsty. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle that water came out of that jawbone, as Rashi says, from the area where one of the teeth were, and a miraculous spring came from there, and Shimshon was able to quench his thirst. So I'm Rav Yitzchak, the Rav Ami. So again, Rav Yitzchak says the name of the Beis of Rav Ami, who Eva Ledover Tomei. He wanted something that was Tomei. In other words, he wanted to have the Plishti daughter, and therefore, Lefikach Nitlu Chaya Bedover Tomei. Therefore, he was saved via this Dover Tomei, from the jawbone of a donkey, as opposed to the jawbone, let's say, of a cow. So it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu beat within, the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu beat within Shimshon, and in between the mountains of Tzora and Eshtael. The whole pasuk is Vatocha Ruach Hashem Lefamo, B'machane Don, Dein Tzora, Uvein Eshtael. So it's between these two mountains. So Omer Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Chama says the name of Rabbi Chanina, the following drasha, Cholso Nivuoso Shel Yaakov Avinu. This was the fulfillment of the Nivu of Yaakov Avinu. Dechsev, Yehi Don Nochosh Ale Derech. The Don will be a Nochosh, a snake, on the road, on the highway. In fact, it's a medrash that brings down that Yaakov Avinu actually thought Shimshon would be Moshiach, and he had the potential to be Moshiach, and unfortunately he didn't reach that full potential. And then the pasuk says, Lufamo b'machne don. What does that mean? So Rav Yitzchak Tevei Rav Ami. So Rav Yitzchak again says from the Beis Medrash of Rav Ami, and he says, Malame choyso shchina mikash keshesh lufano kizug, that the shchina beat within Shimshon like the clanging part of the bell beats. Kisiv Hocha, it says, Lefamo b'machni don. Here the pasuk says that it will be making the noise in the machni of don. Kisiv Hosim, it says, in regards to the begodim of the Kohen Gadol, Pamon v'rimon, Pamon v'rimon. So therefore, just like the Kohen Gadol's beged made noise whenever he walked, so too, the Shechina, so to say, made noise whenever Shimshon walked. The Shechina was present within Shimshon. Again, one shouldn't mistakenly think that Shimshon was just, you know, a tough guy, and he was just a lascivious person. Rachmona Litzlan, he was a huge tzad. He was the Gadol Ador. Then it says in the pasuk bein Tzora ubein Eshtael, these two mountains. So Amar Vasi explains, Tzora v'Eshtael, Shnei Harim Gedolim Hayu, these were two big mountains. And Shimshon was so strong, v'Akron, he lifted them up, he uprooted them, Shimshon, u'techonon zebezeh, and he ground them one into the other. And that's how great Shimshon was. Mark continues to dash in the psukim. B'hu yochel lo shia Yisrael. Shimshon began to save Klai Yisrael from the Plishtim. And Omar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina. Again, we have all these various Amaroyim saying over these drashos. So Rabbi Chama, the son of Rabbi Chanina, said as follows. We turn to Yudam and Aleph. Hu chal shuaso shel Avimelech. This, so to say, nullified, here made chol, made desecrated the shvuah that Avram had made with Avimelech. Avimelech broke that shvuah. Avimelech and Avram Avinu had made a peace treaty, so to say. Dechsev, im tishkor li ulinini ulinechdi, that Avram Avinu told Avimelech, I want you to swear to me that you won't deal in a bad way with me or with my sons or with my grandsons. And they both made this deal, but Avimelech, the father of the Plishtim, so they mistreated Klai Yisrael, so they broke the Shvuah. So Hu Chal Shvuah, so Shal Avimelech. Avimelech Shvuah went away. Just one more pasuk. Vayigdal Hanai Varuchei Hashem. Shimshon grew up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed him. In what way did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless him? B'meh Berucho. In what way did he bless him? So here, this next statement is a very difficult statement to understand. The Ben Yehuda goes into great detail about it. That has to do with Kedusha and the Nitzotzos of Kedusha that were present amongst the Plishtim that Shimshon was trying to gather in, similar to what Shlomo Melech tried to do. So he was blessed with the ability to potentially be able to do this. So I'm Rav Yehuda Merav. Rav Yehuda Merav says, that Sheberucho Be'amoso, his gid, his organ of procreativity, was blessed in such such a way, even when he was a young boy, right? It's by Yigdal HaNar, he was a young boy, he had the strength of a man already in that respect. Vizaro kinachal shotiv, and the zera came out of him like a flowing stream. In other words, that somehow through tashmish with these women, he was able to go about and achieve things on a Kabbalistic level to collect these tzotzos of kedusha that were present. That's where the Ben Yehuda explains it. I don't fully understand it, but it's an explanation of something that's very, very difficult to understand and to explain. And on this note, we'll conclude today's shiur. Again, these fascinating Agadata type gemaras that we have over here telling us many of the secrets of the stories of Tanakh. With this, we conclude today's shiur.